Welcome to Left Out on WRCT 88.3 FM. Left Out is a public affairs program that presents the news from a perspective left out of the mainstream media. I'm Bob Harper.
I'm Danny Slater.
And today's program is produced, as usual, by Molly Meyer. Listeners are welcome to call us at 412-268-9728 or send electronic mail to bob@leftout.info.
Couple of announcements before we start the show. Be sure to listen to Democracy Now! On WRCT 88.3 every weekday morning at 8 o'clock. We won't go into that. Listen to the show. It's a great show. Another announcement is that my co-host, Bob Harper, will once again be a guest and commentator on WQED's Off-Cue program on April 22nd. And that program is, I believe, on, and it's a Friday evening show, like 10 or 11 o'clock.
It tapes on Friday at 8, and then is shown at 11:30 on Friday
11:30,
night.
11:30, but it's showed usually
Saturday
a couple of times
and,
over
Saturday
the
and Sunday, yeah.
So he's been on before with, had quite a impressive,
it's entertaining.
Entertaining.
Very informative and entertaining public affairs program.
Yeah, of
program.
Course, right, especially when you're on to fight the right-wing media that usually is dominating that show. The first part of our program today, we have with us Michael Lamb, who is the Allegheny County Prothonotary, who is running for mayor. 2 weeks ago, we had Bill Peduto, who was also running for mayor, so we figured we'd, give a chance to some of the other, one of the other candidates today.
Welcome to the program, Michael.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So Bob had a special question.
We can skip the first question. Let's ask the other obvious question, which is, given everything that's going on in the city and the financial stringencies that we're operating under, all of the political turmoil that we've had over the last couple of years, why on earth would you or anyone else want to become mayor?
Yeah, it's probably the second question I get. But the truth of the matter is, I announced my candidacy back in January, and we've been around the neighborhoods talking to people, and a couple of things come through very clear. And the one thing is that people in Pittsburgh are really proud of the city. They're proud of Pittsburgh. They're proud of their neighborhood. They're just not very proud of their local government. And I'm running because I hope to change that. I think that there are a lot of things that we can do to improve this government, make it more efficient, and make it more effective. And I think we have a real opportunity to do that right now.
So can you give us some examples? What do you think are the greatest opportunities facing us?
Well, I see in the city's fiscal crisis a real opportunity, an opportunity to change the way we do business. And part of the answer there is with respect to city-county cooperation. I'm a person that believes when the city and county are doing the same kind of thing, we ought to try to do it together. When the city realized that and the county realized that they were both selling dog licenses, someone should have stopped selling dog licenses. But here we are years later, and we're both selling dog licenses. And while that's a really small example, that kind of thing is replicated throughout these two governments, and we need to change that. I made a suggestion a couple of weeks ago that the county should collect city taxes. The county treasurer sends a tax bill to every city homeowner, so every city property owner, and it would cost the county nothing to include on that tax bill your city property tax, your school district property tax. It would be better for city taxpayers, and it would save us money, and again, it would cost the county nothing to do. It's the kind of thing. It's about smart government and making this government more effective and more efficient.
One of the things that we talked about before with Bill Peduto was just the general issue of sprawl and the issue of highway construction. And a couple of the specifics that came up were, what was what's that highway called?
The Mon Fayette Expressway.
Right. Bill was pretty adamantly against that. And he was, I don't know what you can even do now at this point, or there have been suggestions made for changing the project, but he thought it was terrible.
Yeah, I think that, and I would say that I think Bill's position on it's a little bit unrealistic. To some degree, much of that highway has either been built, is about to be built, is in design. What I think the position's got to be is, the potential of that highway, supposedly, was to improve development along brownfield sites in the Mon Valley. But the truth of the matter is the arm of that highway that comes from the Rankin area, Turtle Creek area, into Pittsburgh does just the opposite. So my suggestion with respect to the Mon Fayette Expressway was, let's build it. Let's build the piece, you know, from Jefferson up to Monroeville, but not build the section from Turtle Creek into Pittsburgh, because the effect of that Y, so they're that half of the yeah. Y, basically hurts development in the city of Pittsburgh, particularly in Hazelwood, and that's why I've come out against that piece of the highway. It's not funded yet, and I think it's a more realistic approach.
What are the prospects for that? I mean, I know that some amount of the construction has been approved. I've certainly seen in the paper maps of where they're planning to blow through Hazelwood and South Oakland.
But there's a real opportunity now, because even right now, the Turnpike Commission even admits that their traffic studies were pretty much farcical. You know, that the impact on Bates Street and in Lower Oakland, South Oakland, are just not realistic. And so I think there is a door open for us to get in there and oppose that piece of the highway.
So not realistic in the sense of the dumping too much traffic into the Oakland streets?
I mean, they've basically admitted that their traffic study doesn't really add up.
Was that something that David Tessitore told us about a month ago when we had him on? I think he was talking about that the study that was done by the Southwestern Pennsylvania Development Commission.
Right.
That it was. He called it a fraud. That's what he called it.
The study was a fraud. You're saying.
Yeah.
Uh huh. So the question, Michael, is is that a priority for you? I mean, what is?
Yeah, it is. I think that clearly the what's suggested right now is really a highway that will hurt Pittsburgh. It will hurt not just the neighborhoods of Oakland and Hazelwood, and what's been sold, I think, is a bad bill of goods. The idea that this highway will be a bypass of traffic at the Squirrel Hill Tunnel, and as you know, when you build highways like this, what you do is you induce travel. What we're going to end up with is two traffic jams east of the city rather than the one that we have now. So I don't buy that it's the right way to go for Pittsburgh. And I think there is an opportunity to stop it.
So this brings up similar issues that we've discussed on Left Out before, one of which is the proposed development in Hays. I haven't heard about it recently, but it certainly there was in the news 6 months ago, I suppose. First of all, there's the prospect of strip mining in Hays, and then there's the prospect of building some sort of gambling facility, yeah. A horse racing track, which is probably, in my opinion, a fig leaf for a slot barn. I don't know. What's your view about that?
Yeah, I think the potential for a race casino, so to speak, is not realistic at this point, given the recently passed gambling legislation. So that's likely not to happen. What is likely to happen is development on that site. It's currently owned by Betters, and they originally had plans for a racetrack and surrounding development of residential and commercial. But I think what you're more likely to see there is some kind of residential development, because there's something attractive about that site. And it's one of those very odd situations that we have in the city of Pittsburgh. The site is actually in the city of Pittsburgh, but not in the city school district.
Is that true?
Yeah. So if you're on that site, you're actually in the Baldwin School District.
Is that right?
So that city employees would see that as an attractive site to live, because it's still in the city, but outside the city school district.
That's an interesting anomaly. I had no idea that that was even possible.
Well, one of the things that Dave Tessitore was complaining about was developments where he feels that there's been new houses built for wealthy people. There's one on Frick Park, that new development over there. That what we need in the city of Pittsburgh is not those types of new developments, because those people should be living in the neighborhoods we already have with all the housing that we have there. Keep them in those neighborhoods. Keep the people with enough money to fix up a house and live there, instead of taking those people with enough money and moving them out to some other neighborhood. So I'm kind of trying to contrast that with what you just said about developments.
Yeah, I would disagree with him to some degree in that case, particularly the Frick site, because that's been a pretty good reuse of what was otherwise undevelopable property. I mean, to put that neighborhood, a brand new neighborhood of potentially 700 homes, on what was a slag heap, in the middle of the city of Pittsburgh, I think is positive development for the city. It's increased values. It's he's right. It is an upper end development, but it's a development that's successful. I mean, there are people waiting in line to get in those homes. So I think it's been a positive thing for the city. But I would agree with them that we do need to focus more on moderate priced housing in the city of Pittsburgh and try to provide that opportunity as well.
So do you have some ideas for how you might do this?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that the one area where you're going to see increased housing over the next 10 years or so is downtown Pittsburgh. And we have a real opportunity for that downtown.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Well, one moment, though, for our listeners, we're talking with Michael Lamb, who is the Allegheny County Prothonotary at the moment. And we'll have him explain what that is at some point later in the program. And Michael, as many of our listeners know, is running for the Democratic Party nomination for Pittsburgh, mayor of Pittsburgh. And we're talking with him about a number of issues in the city. You're welcome to call us at 412-268-9728 or send electronic mail to bob@leftout.info. So the most recent topic, Michael, if we go back to it, you mentioned the downtown development. I wonder what your – this has, of course, been a very, very controversial and fraught issue, and I wonder what, if you might tell us your thoughts about that.
Well, my thoughts about it are that if to have successful retail development downtown, I think it's got to be led by successful residential downtown. And I think there's a real opportunity to do that right now, and particularly moderate-priced housing downtown. And what I see there in that regard is student housing. You know, we have Point Park College right downtown, 3,200 students now. Point Park University, excuse me. And we have right around the corner the Art Institute of Pittsburgh with 600 students. Half of those students have indicated an interest in living nearby. You know, if you want to make downtown more vibrant, put 2,000 20-year-olds in it. You know, it'll be a lot more vibrant. You know, there may be other problems, but it'll be a much more vibrant place. And that kind of development, that kind of just having those bodies in place downtown will generate its own economic impact and will begin to drive restaurants, taverns, retail. And so, you know, I really think that's the way to go. I mean, ideally, what I'd like to see on Fifth and Forbes, you know, I think Fifth and Forbes as our main retail thoroughfare should represent who we are in Pittsburgh. You know, we have a number of businesses in the out in our region who make product. You know, we should have a Sony store on Fifth Avenue downtown. We should have an All Clad Pots store down there, Cannondale Bikes, American Eagle. You know, the companies who are here should be represented on our main retail thoroughfare. And aside from the obvious benefits to Fifth Avenue, I think that sends the message that, you know, when you make product and you contribute to the economy in Western Pennsylvania, we're going to support you right on our main retail district. I think it's a very real powerful message.
So what do you think is the city and the county's role in helping to bring that about? A lot of people have different points of view about the best way to do that.
Yeah, honestly, I think downtown development right now is less about money and more about leadership. I mean, it's charting the course, and I think we've charted the wrong course in many ways downtown, particularly with Fifth and Forbes, and it's probably one of the areas that I have the biggest disagreement with the Murphy administration. You know, developing or trying to develop that site as one development, I think has been a mistake. It's proven to be a mistake. If we could have segmented that development early on, I think we'd be far more along than we are right now, and that's what we need to do. We need to segment that development. We have a lot of good developers in Pittsburgh, a lot of people with a lot of good ideas about making that a more vibrant kind of place, including residential. You know, there's been a plan to develop the old G.C. Murphy building right at Market Square as a kind of market house. And I've heard it called the Strip Down. Basically, you bring the merchants from the Strip down into kiosks in that building, create that market house atmosphere. It would really be a great plus for downtown, would provide some grocery opportunity for people who live downtown. And I think it would just be a great development. We haven't moved in that direction because of the current administration's insistence on developing Fifth and Forbes as one development. And I understand their position. Yeah, they feel that to do retail properly, you have to have the control of the site and do the proper build-outs. But I think it's really hurt us, and I think it's shown that.
So how do you think historic preservation fits into the into the picture for downtown development or more generally throughout Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh's a great place architecturally. You know, we have some great buildings, but we also have some buildings that have that are beyond their usefulness, and we have to be able to distinguish the two. And clearly, Fifth and Forbes, as I said, needs to reflect Pittsburgh. And part of Pittsburgh is our history and the architecture that made Pittsburgh what it is. And we have to save as much of that as is feasibly possible. But we don't want to stand in the way of real development either. So I think we have to have a pretty balanced approach to look at those buildings which truly have historical significance. I mean, I think the one building that I would point to is the Buell Building downtown, which is really a classic building. You know, that kind of building is the kind of thing you would want to
keep. Children's Museum, right?
No, not the Buell Planetarium. I'm talking about the Buell Building right on Fifth Avenue.
Oh, okay.
Which is sort of the building that has sort of that tile, blue and white tiled face on it. It's down on the lower end of Fifth Avenue. You know, those kind of buildings are, I think, architecturally significant and pleasing, and we want to keep that kind of scale on Fifth Avenue. And so we have to recognize that.
So you would agree that the destruction of the Mellon Bank headquarters was a disaster?
Yeah, it's not been my favorite project. I loved that bank. I used to go there. It was the one place you could go downtown.
Bring tears to your eyes.
It was the one with the huge lobby. That was a gigantic room with all those tellers.
It was the one place that you could actually walk up to a teller.
Hollywood.
It was the one place downtown that you could actually walk up to a teller and exchange international currency.
That's right.
And it was a classic place.
Yep.
Yeah. And it really is not conducive to retail even under the configuration. I mean, it doesn't have the windows that you would need for retail. So, it's been a real problem.
So turning more generally to the financial issues facing the city, as we know, the city is virtually bankrupt, is under the supervision of two different supervisory boards. This is going to tie the hands of any of the next mayor in terms of having flexibility of what to do. How do you propose to deal with the city's financial stringencies, and how do you propose to actually make it happen in the context of the oversight boards?
Yeah, I think you have to look beyond the oversight board and the Act 47 recommendation in many ways. First off, I think the job of the next mayor has to be that as public manager, you know, putting together this plan to make the city solvent in the near term. And that means, I think, implementing the Act 47 recommendation competently, advocating before the oversight board for and before the Act 47 team for modification of that agreement when the citizenry demands it and when our financial situation permits it. But I think that we have to, in many ways, go beyond, and whether it be on the expenditure side or on the revenue side. We need to find a way to cut the parking tax. And we need to do it in the near term, not in the out years. It's killing Pittsburgh right now. It's hurting businesses. It's driving up downtown vacancy rates. It's basically halting development on the North Shore. I mean, we really need to find a way to cut that tax and cut it right away in the near term.
Funny you bring that up. I wanted to point out, I don't have the figures directly in front of me, but when the last time the tax was increased to 50%, I did a little calculation for all of the city garages, you know, and I'll point out they raised it far more than 50% represented by the tax. I did the calculation. I sent a letter to the editor in the Post-Gazette, but it wasn't published. Oh, well.
Well, that's right. And what the tax is right now is half of every, I mean, it's 50 cents on the dollar. Yeah. It used to be 31 cents on the dollar. So, yeah, that's far more than a 50% increase. It's a 50% tax.
No, right. It's a 50% tax, right. Yeah, but the increase that they made represented far more than was represented by the increase in the tax.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So it's not merely the taxes.
You know, but the interesting thing is that since that tax has gone into effect just in the year 2004, I talked to one downtown garage operator who actually had 200,000 fewer cars park last year.
Wow.
You know, and if on average you're talking 2.5 people per car, that's 1 million people who didn't come downtown or at least didn't park in the garages downtown last year.
So that brings up the next topic of public transportation, and this was something that we talked about with Bill Peduto, and he had a number of ideas that he sort of had looked around at other cities, at places like Minneapolis, but Portland, and how they use their rails. And how Pittsburgh isn't doing it.
Right.
And what is your general...
Yeah, I think it's one of the areas that Bill and I agree. You know, we do have an opportunity right here, right at CMU, to use rail, existing rail, to get to downtown Pittsburgh. You know, there's existing rail lines that run from Oakland, just below Forbes Avenue, right next to the campus here at CMU, over to Bloomfield and down into town, into Pennsylvania Station. And we can do that. We know we can make it happen. It's not that much of an investment. I think that the Colorado car costs about $2.9 million. They hold 200 people. You know, we could, with little investment, we could make that happen. But I think the bigger thing with respect to transit in Pittsburgh, and I'm a person who believes that great cities have great transit. And if we're going to be a great city, we have to have a great transit system. And I think that is one way to get to connect Oakland and downtown in a cost-efficient way. But we also have a problem with the Port Authority. They need to realize some efficiencies, but they also need a dedicated funding source. And I think that we need to make that happen. There has to be a dedicated funding for transit in Allegheny County and in Pennsylvania. And because it does a number of things. First off, it helps us be more competitive with other regions when we're lobbying for federal programs. When we're going up against other cities who have dedicated funding sources and they can show that they can maintain systems down the road, we're losing out to those regions on transit projects. And I think it's important that we do that. It's also, you know, the opportunity to expand the transit system that we have. You know, we're going to build a tunnel underneath the Allegheny River. And as much as people think that's a crazy idea, I think you have to look at that project for what it can be rather than what it is.
Well, that tunnel is that's part
over
of
to, over to the
federal,
north side.
It's the North Side Connector, yeah. North Side Connector project. And the North Side Connector is really got to be looked at as the first step to someplace else.
There are already about 10 bridges across the Allegheny River, right?
Right. That's right. And, you know, it was originally what I thought should have happened was that they should have pulled the subway out of the ground just east of the convention center and
used that proposal.
Existing bridge and carry that down. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, the federal government and some of our local transit officials have become enamored with this tunnel idea. It's 80% federally funded. It's a project that's ready to go. And as I said, I think you have to look at it for what it can be. And to me, it can be the first leg to the airport. And now people say that's crazy. If you're going to the airport, why would you go to the north side? But take a look at a map, you know, and look where the point is and look where the airport is. And it's north of the point. And that's the way you get there.
Right. Yeah. That's a great idea. The airport connection. That's something. Yeah.
This has been stalled. I've been living in Pittsburgh for about 15 years. This has been stalled for as long as I've been here. Instead, we have this persistent talk about this absurd maglev thing. So
is that still going on? I thought that.
Well, let me just talk about that a little bit, because the high-speed maglev project is actually a project that started here at Carnegie Mellon. It's the kind of thing that really does hold interesting prospects. Whether they ever build a high-speed maglev or not, the technology that we've learned through this process with respect to precision manufacturing measurement is really phenomenal. And the people at Maglev Inc. In their lab down in McKeesport are really doing some amazing things. And my feeling is, whether they ever build that train or not, the advances we've made, and particularly in precision manufacturing and the ability in the shipbuilding industries and the bridge building industries, what they've done have really helped Pittsburgh and made Pittsburgh a real leader on the advanced manufacturing front.
So it was really the ancillary benefit.
That was always the case. The idea of maglev, of high-speed maglev for Pittsburgh was always the job creation issue. It was always less about the transportation. I still think it's a system that can work. Mm-hmm. Obviously, under the next transportation authorization next May, we'll see whether or not it gets – there's this competition between Pittsburgh and Baltimore and potentially Las Vegas, whether that actually is part of the next authorization. If it's not, well, then it's not going to happen. But if it is, Pittsburgh's got to be ready to step up and get those dollars and make that an industry for Pittsburgh. We've always been a leader in the transportation industry, and I think that's high-speed rail is clearly going to be a part of the future in America.
So we're talking with Michael Lamb, who's the Allegheny County Prothonotary and who is running for the Democratic nomination for mayor of the city of Pittsburgh. The
election is when?
Remind us, I was going to say, the primary is on May the 17th. And really in Pittsburgh, as we all know, pretty well assured that whoever gets the Democratic nomination is sure to be elected as mayor in the fall.
What are your real prospects? Why are you?
I was going to raise this question
and
compare yourself to the other Democratic Party candidates. So that would be William Peduto and Bob O'Connor, at least.
I'm the one candidate in this race. A couple of things. First, I'm the only candidate. I've been on the ballot citywide 4 times. Two primaries, 2 general elections for Prothonotary. And while those have been lower visibility races, it's given me the opportunity to be on the ballot in every precinct, to reach out to people in every precinct. And I have right now a citywide grassroots organization. And we're out knocking doors, talking to people, talking to voters. And we have a message that I think rings true and rings solid with voters. And that is that we're going to change the way we do business in the city of Pittsburgh. We're going to make this government more efficient and more effective. And we're not just going to make this government solvent. We're going to make this city competitive. And that's a message that people are interested in. The one thing that my candidacy provides is a fresh start for this city. And that's why we're going to win this thing. We're going to get away from the politics of the past, and we're going to move this city forward. I'm the only candidate in this race from south of the rivers. 40% of the vote in this primary is going to come from neighborhoods south of the rivers. People who live in the East End are surprised to hear that sometimes, but that's the truth of the matter. There's a large population base out there. I grew up in Beachview. I live in Mount Washington. I went to high school in Brookline. That's where my geographic base is, and that's that turning out that vote is going to be how I win this election.
So what would you say is the sharpest issue that distinguishes you from Bob O'Connor? And then the same question with respect to William Peduto.
I think with respect to Bob O'Connor, it's my record of cost containment and his record of expanding government. I started in the Prothonotary's office.
You sound like a Republican.
But the truth of the matter is, I started in the Prothonotary's office with a goal toward making that office more efficient and more effective. And we had 135 employees. We have 62 employees today. We've never laid anyone off. But we embraced innovation early on. And anyone will tell you that they get better service in that office today than they did 10 years ago. It's an example of how you do more with less in government. The day I started in the Prothonotary's office was the day that Bob O'Connor started on city council. And while he was on city council and while he was president of city council, the fastest growing department in city government was city council. That's been Bob's history. That's Bob's record. We're going to talk about that as this race goes on.
Well, let's hope so. And with respect to William Peduto, who is similarly an outsider candidate?
I don't know how much of an outsider he is, given that he's on city council.
He's on city council,
yeah.
That's true.
I think the difference between Bill and I think philosophically there are a number of things we agree on. I think probably the biggest difference is that when we talk about reforming government and containing the cost in government, I've done it. Bill has been on council. He certainly has not been in an administrative role. And I've proven, my record with respect to reform. I led the effort that brought home rule to Allegheny County. I've led the effort to reform the row offices. So when we talk about government reform, for me, it's been more than talk. We've really made it happen.
So an interesting asset that you bring to the table is the connection with the county government. Obviously, you're an elected official in the county government. So how do you plan to leverage that as mayor? I mean, there's lots and lots of talk about, in fact, you brought up some of these issues in your opening remarks of how the city and the county might work better together. So why don't you say a little bit more about that?
I think it goes beyond that. I think it goes beyond the city and county working together, because you're right. I've run countywide. I've reached out to our suburban communities and have good friends and supporters in our suburban communities. And part of this has to be a recognition of the plethora of governments that we have in Allegheny County. And we've got to do something about that. I had a conversation with my friend Pete DeFazio, the sheriff, one night, and he was telling me that he was going out to give a speech to a group about the problems with local government. And I said, "That's great, Pete. Who are you speaking to?" And he said, "I'm speaking to the Chiefs of Police Association of Allegheny County." Now, to me, the fact that we have so many chiefs of police that they could actually form an association is a problem with local government. And I think that a mayor is, you know, the mayor of the city of Pittsburgh is a position of regional leadership. And I think that the mayor needs to show regional leadership on those kind of issues. So when we're talking about consolidation, we're not just talking about city-county working together. We're talking about suburban communities working together, the county working more actively with suburban communities, the city working more actively with suburban communities, and you know, and trying to make this whole government more efficient and effective. You know, we in Allegheny County, we pay a lot for the government system that we have. And we need to make this government more effective, and I think there are ways that we do that, and also, you know, continue to provide quality service, but do it in a more cost efficient way.
So the question is, do you think that the city and the county should merge and form one government entity?
I guess there's probably a model out there that would help us do that. I don't think that the models that we've been talking about locally are really it. You know, what I keep hearing people talk about is Louisville. You know, in Louisville, they merged their city government with their county government. And the difference, I guess, between us and Louisville is that at the time that Louisville merged, a third of the population lived in the city of Louisville. Another third of the population lived in unincorporated territories outside the city for which the county government was providing municipal service. And then another third lived in incorporated towns and boroughs. So that when they merged their government, they had a natural majority. That government now provides municipal services to a majority of the people in that county. And they let the municipalities voluntarily buy in if they want to. Here in the city, you know, if we were to do that, you have 25% of the population in the city of Pittsburgh, 75% in incorporated towns and boroughs. So you'd basically have a situation, if we merged, where the 75% of the population would be dictating municipal policy
that's
to the
right,
city.
Yeah.
That's not a real good idea. It's also not politically feasible. I mean, you know, when you talk to people, and particularly in the suburbs, you talk to people about government consolidation. They say, oh, yeah, I'm for it. You talk to them even better. Talk to them about government disincorporation. Oh, absolutely, I'm for it. But ask them if they want their community merged with the city of Pittsburgh, and it's politically a loser. So, you know, I think that the way we get to a more efficient and effective government is by the kind of things we're talking about, the functional type consolidations with the county, by encouraging the municipalities to do more of that, by encouraging the county to also try to facilitate some of that kind of consolidation. And I think that begins the snowball, and I think that would begin the process of getting suburban communities to buy into a more comprehensive consolidation. And until we have that, I don't think it's going to happen. That being said, I love the fact that Dan Onorato is out there talking about it, because he gets out there and he says, we're going to consolidate the city and county. We're going to do it at the next election. And I think deep down he believes that he knows that that's not going to happen. But the fact that he's out there saying it is driving the discussion. And
yeah,
I think
so this is a great thing.
It's a discussion worth having.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Michael Lamb, the Allegheny County Pathonitary, who is running for mayor on the Democratic ticket. The primary will be May the 17th. We encourage all of our listeners to vote. We should also mention Michael Lamb's website, which is lambformayor.com, www.lambformayor.com. And there's lots of information on his website, including a more considered statement of his positions on a number of issues that we've talked about today. Michael, thank you very much for appearing on Left Out.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
We'll take a brief break and we'll be back shortly.